Praise the Lord. And message number 196. The title of the message, Taking the Right Decision, Part 7. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. We bless you, we magnify you, we adore you. Anoint my lips with your word that we need in our life. Send us the message and let the message work in each and every one life and achieve the purpose that you sent it for. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord had given us provision in His Word how to take the right decision. The first provision of God for us is from the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 105 say, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Any decision should go along with the Word of God. And the Lord will not speak or allow certain things or permit certain things for us to do unless it come from the Word of God. And that's why we need to read our Bible daily, so we'll be reminded of God's way, and we'll be able to hear His voice, and we will be able also to follow the right step and take the right decision. Decision making is not the thing that you can avoid or you can postpone. Once you wake up from your sleep, you are called and you are forced to take certain decisions. Some of these decisions are simple, but some of them are complicated and difficult. So you need to be prepared. And God's word provides for us provision and teaching to help us to take right decision at the right time. The first provision of God for us is His word. His word shows us clearly from the scripture what we need to do in certain situation. The second provision of God in our life is the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and verse 18, the Lord said to His disciple, and He's saying also to us, He said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And that's the Holy Spirit. And He is with us. The Holy Spirit will speak to us and direct us with the ways of God and what decision we need to take. And we must know that the Holy Spirit will speak from the Word of God. And we go back. That's why we need to read the Bible. And also the Holy Spirit will not speak out of the scripture. What He speaks should go along with the scripture. The Holy Spirit is God, and He will hear what the Father speak, and He will bring it to us. The Lord say in John 14:26, But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Again here, the Holy Spirit will teach and will remind us. And we need to read the Word of God to be reminded with the Word of God. So the second option of how to take a right decision is the Holy Spirit. And also the Holy Spirit need that we should know and we should read and we should be diligent in reading the Word of God. The third provision of God for us, for us to take a right decision, is a prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, we can read the following. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When we pray, the Lord will lead us about the thing that we need to do. So here we find a prayer is one of the things that God had to provide for us in order for us to take a right decision. We pray and we ask God, Lord, what's your decision and what you want us to do? Which step we need to take? And again, prayer should be based on the word of God, and God's answer will come also from the word of God, or go along the word of God, or go along the scripture. So till now we have three things we need to keep: the word of God, prayer, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in taking the right decision. The fourth resource that God had placed in our hand is the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 to verse 13, we can read, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. But first we have the apostles, those who laid the foundation, the 12 apostles of Christ. And from them continue the apostolic ministry that we do now. We laid a healthy foundation of the church, the foundation of Christ. And the prophets who tell the people or declare to the people the will of God. This is the gift also, we declare to the people the will of God. Evangelists are those who reach the lost and those who have not heard with the Christ or His word. We bring the word of God to them. Pastors, those who nurture and care for the sheep and feed them with the word of God. And teachers, those who teach the word of God. These are the five spiritual gifts for the church leaders, for the church leadership. And the Lord had given these gifts to His church, to His people, so that He will help them to take right decision, right step, right counsel, right advice. And here the fourth source of God to us to take right decision is His church. We pray to God and we read His word and we wait for the Holy Spirit to speak and we ask counsel. We go to the church, to the leaders. We ask you to come to open up your life, especially when you are taking hard decision, and discuss with us, because we are sent from the Lord to help the people to know God and to walk in His ways and to take right step and decision in life. Verse 12, why God give these gifts? To prepare God's people for work of service, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The works of service is how you live your life to God. That is how you serve God. When you live for God, then your life will be fruitful, bringing new disciples and godly people into God's kingdom. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So here we have the fourth resources is the church, with what the church leaders and members and workers carry from spiritual gifts that we receive from the Lord. We'll expand more about that. We'll go to the book of Exodus, chapter 18. And we'll read from verse 13. When the father-in-law of Moses saw Moses sitting on the seat of judge, and he saw a large number of people around him, Let's read verse 13. The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" His father-in-law, he was astonished why only Moses is doing that, and why the people are coming to Moses. Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." So why the people, they were coming to Moses? Because they want to know God's will. And why they come to Moses? Because Moses knows the word of God, and he have the gifts of the Holy Spirit to explain to the people what they need to do. Every dispute, every problem, difficult situation, they will come to Moses. And Moses, what he will do, he will give the word of God, and he will explain, and he will help the people. And finally, he take his authority and declare to them the will of God and what they need to do. And that is also the work of the church now. And that's our ministry, to help the people to grasp and to declare to them, and to help them to obey and abide with God's will. Verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." It is not because that Moses was helping the people. It is not good. No, because Moses was doing it alone. Why you are doing it alone? So here his father-in-law did not tell him, "Why you don't send the people to others?" No. We will read now what was the advice of his father-in-law to him. "You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." He told him, being alone, it is not good. But he did not tell him, send the people to other people, to other personnel. Listen now, verse 19. "Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people representative before God and bring their disputes to them." So here, the ministry of Moses to be representative to the people before God is maintained. He is the one, and he should be the one to know people's problems and bring it to God. And that's here the rule of the church. When there is a difficult case, half the church should know about it. The church should know about the difficult situation of the members of the church. Verse 20, "Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live, and the duties they are to perform." He told them, teach the people the word of God, and that's what we do, Bible study, decrees and laws. And teach the people to obey, and show them the way to live, how they will live, the style of life, the pattern of life also we give them, and the duties they are to perform. Every people, when they bring out their situation, their difficulties in life, we give them instruction and the duties that they need to do. Verse 21, "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." After Moses would train the people and teach them, he would choose honest, faithful people, capable people. He will put them over the people to do the same of his ministry. Have them, verse 22, "have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. So here, he told him that simple cases, they can decide. Difficult cases have finally to go back to Moses. So what are their rules as judges? They will help Moses to filter the cases. Simple case, they will decide, and it is done. Difficult cases, they will filter it out and present it to Moses to decide about it. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. And that's what we do. We train workers, pastors, leaders, and give them ministries, those who are faithful. And we tell them the instruction what they need to do. And we also instruct them that cases that is difficult, it have to come to me, it have to come to the council of the church. The church should know about it. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people. Officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Somebody would say that it is not enough that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and a prayer, and why I need to come to the church and open up my difficult and hard situation to the church, why I cannot manage alone. The scripture teaches us that God had placed the church to help us to decide in our difficult cases. And that is the rule of the church. And that need humility, transparency, so that the hard situation that each and every member would pass in his life, and God allow it, will be passed successfully and victoriously. Otherwise, if people they will rely on themselves alone, because they say we know the Word of God, we pray, and we have the Holy Spirit with us. If they will have this mind to be independent, they will fall into troubles. You know, the word difficult, the Hebrew word, when you say the difficult cases, the word difficult in Hebrew, the root word of it, when I go to it, the word difficult is hard, cruel, severe, obstinate, stiff neck, fierce, intense, vehement. And God would allow that each and every one of us will pass a hard situation, and he cannot decide alone. Even he know the Word of God. Even he know the will of God. Even he hear the voice of God. Even he is very good in prayer, but God want us not to keep aside the church of God getting involved in our personal life. Difficult cases we will be facing each and every one of us, and God will allow it. And the way that God wants us to face is to ask advice and counsel from the Lord and from His church. Sure, you who hear the message, you have passed certain situation that you have a hard, tough time, and you needed to have an advice from people. Then hear the point, why not from the church? Why not from the leaders of the church who have the Holy Spirit, who are servant of God, whom sent by the Lord, whom anointed by the Lord, who care for you spiritually? to, and why not them that you open your life? Why not to us you open your life so that we can help you in taking the right decision in your difficult situation? The point here, if you will not come to us in your hardship and trials, then you will be going to wrong people who will sure give you the wrong advice and finally will harm you. We'll compare here about two characters, how they took their decisions. We speak about King Saul and King David. We know that King David, he always inquired of the Lord, and how he inquired, he go to the priest David, you know, the word of God, you pray, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on him. But the scriptures teach us that when he wanted to take decision, he would go to the priest. One time he went to the priest Ahimelech and inquired of the Lord of him, and the priest inquired to him about God's will, and he gave him provision, and he gave him the sword of Goliath. When Saul heard about it, he got angry because he was thinking that the priests, they were against him. We read that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 22. When the king heard that the priest Ahimelech helped David in taking right decision, I read it from verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 11 onward. Maybe we need to read up to the end of the chapter, to verse 23. Then the king sent for the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitob, and his father's whole family, who were the priests at Nob, and they all came to the king. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitob." "Yes, my lord," he answered. Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the sons of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today?" Ahimelech answered the king, "Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him?" So what he's telling him, what he's telling, that David, this is not the first time he came to inquire of God. It's every time he come, when he have a problem, he will come and inquire of the Lord. He come to the priest. Of course not. So what he's saying here, the priest, about David, that is the practice of David. Whenever he have some difficult situation, he come to inquire of the Lord. Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair. But the king said, "You will surely die. You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your father's whole family." He was angry. Then the king ordered the guard at his side, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me." But the king's officials were not willing to raise a hand to strike the priests of the Lord. The king then ordered Doeg, "You turn and strike down the priest." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. He killed the priest. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priest, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle, donkeys and sheep. So he killed everyone of the priests. Why he did like that? Because he thought that the priests, they were against him. And here's the point. Why you why you don't like to come to us, to the church, and open up your situation, open up your problem. We are the church. And the hard and difficult situation, God allow it. And God had placed us together. God has given us the spiritual gift. God has given the spiritual gifts to His church so that we can help one another in taking right decision when any one of us is passing through hard time. You know, don't be like Saul who think that the priests are against him. Don't be like Saul and think that we are against you or we don't wish that you are blessed. We are here to help you spiritually. Whether you like it or not, God will allow you to pass to hard and difficult situation. You need to decide. What are the difficult situations that we advise that each and every pastor and leader should not take that decision unless he will come to us and ask advice. First, marriages. Marriage. Don't arrange and prepare marriages and agree about things without our knowledge. Second, shifting from country to country. We need to know about this. These are difficult situations. What I mean here, don't decide and then you come to inform us. No, you come before you decide anything. Come and let us know before you decide. Third, shifting from work to work. These are the main things. Ask advice. Buying lands, buying properties, building houses. These are difficult decisions and you need to inform us as a church so that you will not fall into trouble. If you will exclude us as Saul exclude himself from opening his life to the priest, then you will face a terrible situation in the future. What else things we advise? When you mobilize money, what I say, when you mobilize a money of around $1,000, better you come and ask counsel before you take it. Before you take that decision, when you mobilize even your own money, ask counsel. And even I say and I teach, when members want to borrow money from one another, let the church know about it. And the church must give the word also. So that the devil will not take advantage. Because one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment, is distinguish between spirits. The message of knowledge, the message of wisdom. You may know how to pray, you may be good in the Word of God, but you cannot still exclude the church. You can't exclude the Holy Spirit. You cannot exclude the Word of God from your decision. Four things must work together so that we will be sure that we are doing God's will. Why King Saul, it was easy for him to kill all the priests, to put them to death. First, he thought that the priests are not a good wisher for him. Don't think that we don't want you to be blessed by the Lord. We want. And that's why we want you to come, take advice, because we will work together, we will help you take a right decision so that you will not be in trouble. Why so? It was easy for him to kill all the priests, and what he's saying that I don't need them. Why he reached that conclusion? The second factor is, you know, In one of the occasions that Saul was in a battle with the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we know that when he was facing the Philistines, that his son Jonathan was able, with the help of the Lord, to attack one of the outposts of the Philistines, and God gave him victory. After that, the word of God tells us the following in 1 Samuel chapter 14 And we read from verse 15, say that then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. God started to fight against the Philistines. Saul's look out at Gibeah in Benjamin, saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, muster the forces and see who has left us. When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, bring the Ark of God. Ahijah was the priest. At that time it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the Philistines came and increased more and more. Why he called the priest? He called him to inquire of God whether they will go forward to fight or no. After he called him, the army of the Philistine started to melt more and more. So what Saul did, so Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. We will go. Don't inquire of what he's saying. Don't inquire of God. It's very clear. We can go ahead. God is with us. And that's true. God was with them. But what he did is wrong, because he excluded the rule of the priest to inquire of God for him and for the whole Israelites. And that's why when it came in 1 Samuel chapter 22 to kill the priests, all the priests, it's easy for him, because I can do it without them. Why they are disturbing me? You know, it may work with you. You pray, and God, some people say God is with me, we have the Holy Spirit, why we need to open up? We know the word of God. You might be successful one time, two time, but sure, one day you will find yourself, you cannot take a decision. And when you had excluded the church and exclude us, exclude the leaders who care for you spiritually, then you will find yourself, when you are squeezed, going to wrong people to ask advice. You know what Saul did is opposite the instruction of the word of God. When Moses installed Joshua instead of him to lead the Israelite after him, what was the instruction of Moses? He called Joshua, and he called also the priest Eleazar. Eleazar was after Aaron. In the book of Numbers chapter 27, and we will read verse 21, what he say to Joshua and what he say to the people about Joshua and about the priest Eleazar, who will take a decision for him and for the whole Israelite. He, that means Joshua, is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him, not decision, decisions for him, it means for Joshua, by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, it means at the command of Eleazar, he, Joshua, and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, it means that at the command of Eleazar, they will come. So here, what we find here, Saul, what he said to the priest, withdraw your hand. No need to inquire. We go ahead now. That habit, if it will be in you, you will be facing a very big troubles. When you practice to decide your own without opening up to the people who care for you spiritually, you will be in a bigger trouble. If they are not there, you are right. If we are not there, if we are not available, if we told you don't come to us, we are not willing to listen to any problem, or we are not here to give you counsel, that's your right. You know, Saul, it mentioned here that he was, Saul look out at Gibeon, Benjamin. Gibeon, Benjamin, somebody said that Samuel was there nearby to him. He did not consult even Samuel. He went ahead. He was not waiting for the priest to inquire of God. He went ahead. So, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, he found himself very easy for him to kill the priest. So, the second reason for him to kill the priest, the first one was, is he thought that the priests are not good. Don't think that we are not good for you. We are there to bless you with the wisdom of God and the word of God, so that the Lord will really bless you as you obey him. Second reason, he was deceived that I can do it alone. I don't need the counsel of the church. I don't need the counsel of the priests. I can see that whatever God's will, I can see it very clearly. I don't need someone, and that's some of you are. The third reason, I will explain it later on, why it was easy for Saul to put to the death all the priests. We'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we will read verse 20. But Abiathar, a son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitob, escaped and fled to join David. God allowed that one priest will escape. Because this is a ministry. God will not allow his church to die. As the Holy Spirit work. And where is the priest? Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, went, he fled to David. David received him. He told David that Saul had killed the priest of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell his Saul, I am responsible for the death of your father's whole family. And verse 23, what David said to him, stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who is seeking your life is seeking mine also. You will be safe with me. What David told him, stay with me. He wants the priest, he wants the church with him. You see him here. You need to keep the church with you, because you need the counsel of the Lord through his church, and that is scriptural. You know, David did not think that Abiathar the priest is a burden to him. No, oh, I have to feed him, and I have to care for him, and I have to bring him with me. No, it's not a burden, and we will see it later on. What's the value of what he decided when he said to Abiathar, stay with me? And what is the danger that Saul put himself when he killed all the priests? We'll move now to 1 Samuel chapter 28, when the Philistines were pressing hard against Saul. And when Saul tried to figure out what he needed to do, but he was not able to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, you know, there's a time that God will allow that you will pass through a difficult situation, and you use all your capability to solve it, but you cannot, and you need the counsel of the Lord through his church. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 4. The Philistines assembled and camped and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. Verse 6, he inquired of the Lord. But the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Now he is in the corner. He wants a counsel. He wants somebody to give him advice. The priest, he put all to death. And the one who escaped is not with him, he's in, is with David. So what he need to know? Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There was one in Endor, they said. Where he went? To witchcraft, to the non-believer, to a witch. Now same for you. If you refuse to open up your personal life and hard and difficult situation before the church and before us, before me, you will find yourself one day end up with the people who are witchcraft, non-believers, and sure they will give you the wrong advice and you will be in a terrible situation as Saul. Saul, he went to the woman. You can read the whole story in 1 Samuel chapter 28. To those who know it, you know that he asked her that he want to speak with Samuel. And you know those witchcraft, they have demons to help them. Whoever you would ask him, the demons will disfigure themselves and they pretend to be that person. But what happened that when he asked for Samuel, Samuel's spirit came out from down. And this woman, the witch, she was shocked. She knew that God had made the spirit of Samuel come out, and she knew that it was Saul. And Saul assured her that he will not kill her. He knew the word of God, but he was disobedient to God. And he started to break the word of God in order to escape the troubles. You see, there is no repentance in his life. And he met Samuel. And Samuel said to him in verse 16, Samuel said, why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has turned the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines. He told him, tomorrow you and your son and the army of the Israelites, you and your son will die and you will be with me tomorrow. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way. What do you think? She's a good woman? When you go to the take advice from the non-believers, they are good people, huh? They will give you food, huh? If they are not the people of God, if they are not the church who care for you, they are evildoers. Whatever they will do to you, good. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneading it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night they got up and left. You see here, after he come to know God's judgment on him, did he receive any advice with that setup? Did anyone told him to repent? They give him food, let him eat. And that's where, when you go to people who does not know God, who does not know who you are, and ask advice and counsel, they'll give you food, they will pamper you. But in fact, they are just preparing for your burial. You need to come back to hear the message, to repent, to give our instruction. No one have taught to Saul to repent. No one has rebuked him. Come back to your senses and repent. As said in the scripture, the period of time between 1 Samuel chapter 22 to chapter 28, I could not figure out exactly the period, but it is not less than 2 years. When he killed the priest, until he found himself, he needs someone to tell him what he needs to do, and there's no one. It may be 2 years or 2 to 4 years, I'm not sure. But what I am sure of, why it was so easy for Saul to kill all the priests, the third reason for it, because in 1 Samuel chapter 22, he had everything. He had the army, he had the power, he had the fame, he has the money. And I don't need the priest, I don't need the church, I don't need you to come to you and to open my life. No. I have everything. But here, he lost everything. Or what he has, he knows that it will not be enough for him to overcome. Don't be deceived like Saul and think that what you have of material things, people, money, resources, can replace the advice of the church that care for you. In the same setup, in the same time, I think so. We know that as the Philistines, they were preparing to fight against Saul, David was with one of their kings, and supposed David to go with them to fight against Israel, but finally, they decided to let David go back, because they thought that he may join the Israelites and support Saul. So when he went back, that is exactly around the time that Saul was seeking the advice of this witch. When David went back to his place, he went to Ziklag, and we can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the woman and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So here also David was facing another hard situation. We know that Saul was told that tomorrow you and your son will die. David, his wife and children, no more. And he is not sure about them. What had happened to them? Both of them is a hard, difficult situation. But what is more difficult? That you will lose your life and sons tomorrow, or you already lost your wife and children, and they are with the enemy, which is more difficult. Saul, when he was told like this, that not yet lose anything, still, it's tomorrow. David had already lost. When Saul heard the news, he fell down. But when David heard when he came to know and saw the bad news, already his wife and children and the men were thinking to stone him, to kill him. What the Bible says, David found strength in the Lord. Because David, he kept the fourth element of taking decision. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the prayer, and the church. Why David found strength in the Lord? And we remember what he did in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 23. He said to the priest, Abiathar, stay with me and let us read now. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7, where we stop. Verse 7 and 8. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered, you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Hallelujah. So here, when he was facing very hard situation, beyond his capacity, the Lord was able to help him through Abiathar, the priest. He humbled down. He asked the priest to open up the situation. You ask the Lord for my behalf, what I need to do. And the Lord told him, go ahead. When Saul, he went to the witch, he knew judgment, the God judgment. But no one directed him to repent, to correct the situation. David was in the right position, with the Lord, with his church, with his people, humbling down. He is in repentance. He trusts the Lord that God can save him as he comes back to God. And truly, we can read that. Verse 17. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekite had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. So here we understand that we cannot exclude one of the four elements that God had given us in taking our decision: his word, the Holy Spirit, the gift of prayer, and his church to give us the right counsel to overcome difficult, hard situation. Anytime you find yourself in front of difficult situation, that's indication that you need to come to us as a church. Open up your life. Don't be afraid, even if you have sinned. We are not there to harm you. We are there to help you to take the right decision, right step. And you come not in the attitude of Saul, who said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Come with the attitude of David, who was willing to listen to the advice and the instruction of the Lord through the priest, through his church. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word to us. I pray in the name of Jesus that the purpose of sending your word to us had accomplished in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for humility and wisdom to everyone who hear the message will apply it, Lord, in their life, trusting you, O Lord, that as they repent and abide with your ways, you will help them to take the right decision. I pray in the name of Jesus, everyone who hear the message and have hardship, I pray the message will help him, O God, and open his eyes and minds to understand your will, and finally he will be blessed with the right counsel and right decision that come from you. I pray that these resources that you put in our hand, we'll use it effectively for your glory. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. Oh Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach your people who are waiting, who are in need of this message of yours. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, O God. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.